It seems to me that there are a lot of strange things going on in the story which we are told by Yeshiv and Kate, by Yigash, by Yafi, the whole Yosef story. There are little bits and pieces here and there which really don't seem to make, on the surface, don't seem to make very much sense. And sort of we take them for granted because that's what it says and that's what we've learned all these years. But really, when we think about it, it's a little strange. Here's just one idea. So later on, when they come back from the first visit, and Yaakov wants them to go again because they're hungry again. No, there's no point in going without Binyamin. There's no point going. What do you mean, v'nishburu l'cho eichel? We'll bring you food. Who was talking about Yaakov? Yaakov, when originally he told them that he should go down to Mitzrayim, he says, v'nichye v'no nomus. He's talking in the Loshen Rabbim. He's not putting himself into the center of the story. And nevertheless, Yehuda, when he's talking to Yaakov and persuading him, or trying to force him, really, to send Binyamin along, what he's saying is, it's a question of bringing you the food. Now, I didn't see any Mephoshim who point that out, but I don't know, maybe I missed some, but it sounds awfully strange. Like, why say we'll bring you food when he meant, or must have meant, or should have meant, and bring food for all of us? And Bichlal, we can't really understand the story at all. Yosef, they come the first time to Yosef, and Yosef is by Yaakov. He knows who they are. They don't know who he is, and so on and so forth. So Dibel Itam Koshas, and he says Meraglim Atem. So they come along and they say, no, we're not Meraglim. Kulanu b'nei ish echad nachnu. What's it Nageya? How is that a defense against Yosef's accusation that they are Meraglim? So they say, no, we're not Meraglim, because we are all brothers, we all have the same father. So what's that got to do with anything? Throughout the story, you see that even between Yosef and the brothers, long before he reveals himself to them, Yaakov, the father, is a very, very active player. Can he still be alive? Is he still alive? How does Yaakov get into the conversation? As far as Yosef is concerned, as far as the brothers are concerned, of who this Mishneh LaMelech is in Mitzrayim, so he's an Egyptian, and he's selling food, and he's accusing them of being Meraglim. So if they can bring him proof that they're not Meraglim, is that fine? What's it got to do with Yaakov? It seems to me that in the Pshuta Shel Mikra, I mean, the second question which I asked, in what way is that a defense? Yosef says, you're Meraglim, and Yehuda says, no, we're Bnei Ish Echad. Like, what is the Pshuta Shel Mikra there? So I think that the Pshuta Shel Mikra is that it's taka a defense against being Meraglim. And Yehuda was saying, I imagine, I'm not saying over Rishon or Mephoshim, I haven't seen all the Mephoshim, but it sounds to me that what is being said is that Yehuda said, that they say to Yosef, and they say, listen, yeah, we're not here on our own. We're not just 11 people who happen to be coming shopping. We are brothers who are defined by our father. There is a Hemshach. There is a Hemshach over here. And you must understand that even if we look like young people, strong people, and quite possibly Meraglim, but no, we define ourselves not in our own personality, we define ourselves as being the children of Yaakov. And the implication is, Yaakov, our father, would never want us to be Meraglim. In other words, they identify themselves as not making up their own minds. They're not masters of their own fate or of their own actions, but they are simply doing the wish of their father. And when you have people doing the wish of their father, so then the assumption that they're criminals is much, much further away. If they're doing the wish of their father, they're being Mekayim, Tibud Av, even the way a guy would understand it, that sort of points to the idea that they are not Meraglim. That's the Pshuta Shel Mikra. And I think that also the first question, that when Yehuda said, look, there's no point in going down. Why do we want to go down? We want to go down because you need the food. Now, of course, we need the food also. But we need the food only as your children. We define ourselves. We are in our minds only your children. And that is the only thing that we are. And therefore, in our mind, when we're going, we're not buying food for ourselves. We're buying food for you. You in your goodness and in your sense of achrayus, which you have towards your children. So you will make sure that we also have, because you also want your family to be well off and to have something to eat and so on and so forth. But what I mean is that even in the superficialities of the story, this is happening, this is happening, this is happening, we never look at the Shvatim as a separate entity. Throughout the story, even the Gabe Yosef, who they think is a Mitzri, a Goyish Mitzri, who has absolutely no interest in their family, they are interested in defining themselves as being one unit, the children of one father. Otherwise, the whole development is completely ununderstandable. But that is what they're saying. They're saying that that is the way you have to look at us. That is the way we define ourselves. And under such circumstances, you shouldn't think that we are Meraglim. That is the underlying basis of Sefer Shemois. Eile Shemois b'nei Yisroel haboim Mitzrayimo Eis Yaakov Ish uveisoy bo. That the going into Golus was Eis Yaakov, was together with Yaakov. The Shivim Nefesh were Eis Yaakov. When the Ribbono Shel Olam sent us into Golus, he sent us into Golus, those were the beginnings of the Golus. Nothing much of the Golus started then, because Fakir Yaakov Avinu himself is Mufka from Golus, like we see all along. That's why ultimately he needed Yosef as a Hemshach of him. So, but because he himself will not be together with us in Golos, it's Yosef who accompanies us through our Golos, and by being Oymed ben Nisoy and by the Eishes Potiphar, he is the one who makes sure that Yirat Hashem will get back, in Ma'arecha that, in other Shiurim and so on and so forth. That's a big Yisoid, which I think everybody knows and is maskim to. So the what is that the Yisoid is that the Ribbono Shel Olam says, look, you want to be guaranteed that you'll get out of Golos, you have to come as Yaakov, to the extent that you are as Yaakov, to the extent that you see yourself as children of Yaakov, and of course, as being children of Yaakov, you're also children of Yitzchak and Avraham. That means you are children of the others. To that extent, all the brises which I made with you, and all the promises that I made, and all these things that I made, they are niskayim. And that is how I send you into Golos. Always, always, always remain as Yaakov. That is how you have to remain. And if you remain as Yaakov, then everything is going to be fine. And I think that that is, of course, the pshat and in the final brocha which Yaakov gave Yosef. So after all the beautiful things that he promised him, I'm sorry I went too far. Here we are. Vateshev Eisom Kashta Vayofoizel Zeroyo Yodav, golden bracelets, Midei Avir Yaakov Mishomroye Even Yisrael. That means that the gold on his arms, it means the fact that he was the Melech, the Mishneh Lemelech in Mitzrayim, came to him Midei Avir Yaakov. Avir, that's a Mayudika word, Avir. Because in Tanakh, what is Avir? Abirei Boshan. Abirei Boshan are the mighty oxen of Boshan. Avir is a picture of strength, of koyach. You think of a huge ox pulling along a wagon which is weighed down with all kinds of heavy things, and you see the oxen or the two oxen straining and walking and schlepping. That is Abirei Boshan. Midei Avir Yaakov, the Ribbono Shelem of Yaakov, is an Avir, is strong. He brings about, where he promises, the bris that the Ribbono Shelem made, the Ribbono Shelem will move around nations and historical periods, and Alamine Zachen, the Ribbono Shelem is going to move around like an Avir, and that brings Yosef into center stage. The fact that the Ribbono Shelem had made promises that the Golos will not be eternal for us, and that we're going to be coming back from that Golos, Midei Avir Yaakov, Mishom Ro'eh Eben Yisrael. And from that, and because of that, Yosef will have the koyach to shepherd the Eben Yisrael. And everybody knows the Targum. What does it mean? Misham Roya Eved Yisrael, Zon Avohon Uvenin Zaro de Yisrael. And that is why Yosef was able to feed father and sons. Not the pshat as he was able to feed his family. There was father and there were sons. Eben is a neutrekein Av Uben. And that is the whole story. In other words, that we have, I mean, there are plenty more, but I can, you know, it's not Kedai. Everybody must notice them, but Boshet Yun Kriya Satoro. A lot of these strange things, how Yaakov constantly is an actor, even when he's not on stage, and even when he's sitting in Eretz Canaan waiting, and thinking that Yosef is dead, and alle Sachen. It's Yaakov Keilu who's pulling the strings of the puppets who are on stage. The Meirei Gezach, he's there, whether logical or not logical. I would say not logical. We are B'nai Ish Echot, therefore we're not Meraglim. By them it made sense. Apparently they thought that by Yosef it also makes sense. It made sense because Yosef was Yosef. But they didn't know that. But it made sense because that is what the Pashas are telling us, that we, the Bonim of Klal Yisrael, only make sense to the extent that we are Eis Yaakov. That's I think, what all the protim of these very, very strange stories which were happening over here, they all get pulled together only once we see this Yisrael, that the definition of the Bonim is their father. And that is how we go, and that is a Beis Yaakov L'chu V'nei L'chu V'ray Hashem. It's always Beis Yaakov. That's what it is. That's in the Pesuk I quoted just now. That's in Yeshaya. Yeah, so he says Nachas Hayamim, and that's what's going to happen. Yeah, L'chu V'nei Beis Hashem, that, yeah, V'yareinu Mitrochav. Beis Yaakov L'chu V'nei L'chu V'ray Hashem. We're Beis Yaakov, and as Beis Yaakov, that is how we're going to go through history. And that is a very, very important yesod. And I want to tell you, it's in the middle of Hanukkah. Hanukkah is one of Simcha. But the emes is, all of us are so shattered. They're so shattered by what happened in Eretz Yisrael, this terrible, terrible, terrible fire. This terrible fire, Nebuch, I think 42 people Nebuch lost their lives. But I read something in the papers yesterday, or maybe it wasn't in the papers, maybe it was a lie, whatever, someplace, it's just beyond description. Say that in this terrible fire, 5 million trees were burnt. 5 million trees were burnt. That zach of thinking of those 5 million trees, like, it doesn't leave me any peace. Why doesn't it leave me any peace? Now, 42 people lost their lives. It's more important than 5 million trees, I imagine. But 5 million trees, why does it bother me so much? And again, I don't know the protim at all, but the way they're saying now, the papers over here are saying, the fire was set, of course, inadvertently by the young 14-year-old boy. I don't know whether he comes from a family of Shomrei Torah mitzvahs or not of Shomrei Torah mitzvahs. Sounds to me he was smoking in a water pipe. I can't imagine a cheder yingel, but I don't know. It's not nageya. But what's so striking about this thing? What doesn't leave me peace? Because what's happening is, you know, today some of the people who are listening to these shiurim, well, probably a lot of young people who weren't around in the early days of the Medina in 48, it's a long time ago. But at that time, you know, Zionism was at its very, very strongest, and the whole world admired very much the plucky Jews. And what did they want? What they want was the new Jew. They wanted the new Jew. They weren't interested in the ghetto Jews with the Gebekishes and with the Kapotes and with the Streimels. They wanted a nice guy with a pick on his shoulder and a spade on his shoulder, marching out and doing agriculture and rebuilding the land and draining the swamps. There's going to be a new Jew who is part of humanity, and he's part of everybody, and he's going to produce a new country for the Jews. But they have to be new Jews. And everybody knows the history a little bit. The Wetzel was to get the permission to get to Eretz Yisrael. They fiddled the visas which were available through the British mandate, that it should go to the people whom they wanted. It's a sad story, and I'm sure that they meant it well in their own way of looking at things. Not that they weren't there, like even many of them. But I don't think they were evil people. But that, das hat sich getan. And in the context of what we're talking just now, we see the tragedy of that. This idea of the new Jew, is somebody who's not Eis Yaakov. Forget, the Eis Yaakov disqualified you. And what was the symbol of this new Jew? The symbol of the Jew were the trees. Plant a tree in Eretz Yisrael. Plant a tree in Eretz Yisrael. Kids in schools and in, so they collected pennies. And so a tree was sown so much, and you planted a tree here, and you planted a tree there, and you planted a little forest over here, and a little grove over there. All sorts of getan with trees and trees and trees and trees. I don't know the agricultural aspects of it, of why the trees are so important, but apparently in order to make the swamps into productive fields and productive lands, so there was this idea of the trees. Maybe they hold the soil together, veves, I don't know. But I do know, I've experienced that in my own lives, that the big deal was to plant trees in Eretz Yisrael. And today you have a maaser, 5 million trees. It's so terrible. It's so terrible. Because look at all the hopes that went up in smoke over there. Those 5 million trees, I don't know what's going on. I mean, I really don't know anything. But the Be'etzem, just hearing the words, is such a clap. It's a failure, Ke'ilu, Chas V'Shalom, of the new Jew. It's a failure. Who set the fire? A 14-year-old kid. The future. But don't look to the future. Look to the past. We belong to the past. And we belong to the others. And we are Eis Yaakov. So if we belong to the others, we're Eis Yaakov. Our pride is not the Yengel, the 14-year-old Yengel. He's our hopes. He's our true tikva for the future. So we mechanech him, and we try and give him good middos, and we try to. Over faket, the mahalach over here was be new. Don't feel yourself bound by your history. And what happens? That the 5 million trees. Can you imagine what happened over there? Can you imagine what went into those 5 million trees to plant them, to nurture them, to whatever it is that it takes to keep a forest healthy and productive? And it's all gone. 5 million trees. It's such a terrible, terrible, terrible thought of what's going on and what went on in those terrible few days. Versteht sich, that the neshamas never burned. Houses were burned. Families were driven out of their homes. The homes were burned. It's just so sad. And, you know, everybody's raising money, the Aguda and the Young Israel, and Baruch Hashem, people, Yeridna Rachmonim, B'nai Rachmonim, I'm sure that millions of dollars are being sent from Eretz Yisrael, from America, to help these people, to help them to rebuild their homes. But you know, during these past couple of years, where we've had so many natural disasters, the tsunamis and the earthquakes, and we always, like, you know, if you're an Elul Chayyim, you try, what's the message? So, no, to find a message for a tsunami, to find a message for an earthquake in Haiti, nicht so easy. So, you know, if you Yeshli Yashiv B'Darchik. Over here, there's a message. No, so we can all sit back, we're all from a Yidden and Elul Chayyim, and we can say, oh, yeah, but the message is not for us. We didn't say we wanted a new Jew. We want for Kev, we want to be a Mechanech, our children. The Ruach Yisrael Saba, and so it's not a message for us. So I'll gladly, if any Friar Yid comes and talks to me, and I'll tell him, oh, you better listen, God is sending you a message. Remember all the trees that you planted in Eretz Yisrael? 5 million went up in smoke because one of your children went, one of your new Jews went and burnt it all down. Oh, so we're all in good shape. Rabbi said, we're not in good shape, because there's a corollary to this story. We are also losing our children. Baruch Hashem, not all of them, and Baruch Hashem, not even a majority of them, but enough to be an overwhelming tragedy, that children are tearing themselves loose from the Eis Yaakov. At a certain level. Certainly there's a spark that remains, and Baruch Hashem, wonderful people are working with these children to try and reignite the spark, and Baruch Hashem, that it is like that. Oh, but there's so many that are getting lost. It's not, our trees are the children. What by the Yidden Nebuch who were not zoicha to grow up as Eilef Yidden, as Shem with Torah Mitzvahs. So the trees have this enormous symbolic standing, which by us, I guess, well, they don't really have so much, because we weren't involved in that aspect of Binyan Haaretz. We were involved, Baruch Hashem, in other aspects of Binyan Haaretz, to make it the biggest Malkum Torah in history, probably. But But our children, we're losing them also, many of them. Everyone is a disaster. But it's not only one. What's happening? So I think that this whole story, if you take the whole play as it's being played out in these last few years, that the Friar Yidden in Eretz Yisrael, now they suffer this terrible, because the plenty of Eretz Yidden also suffered for Shtetzer. But the symbolic of what's happening is, I think, more directed to the Zionist dream, which has a club over here, which I don't know whether anybody is yoyver to the oimek of that, but I think it's a terrible, terrible club. But by us it's the children, and we're losing children. The kesher to Evan Yisrael, over Subonim, the kesher to Evan Yisrael. Now to go in Hallel, Evan Moshe Abonim Hosol Rosh Pina. We became a Rosh Pina, that Evan. No, so what's the Evan which became a Rosh Pina? Taker Evan Moshe Abonim. But now it's the Rosh Pina, but it's stopping to be a Rosh Pina. The Evan is coming apart. The Kesher of Bonim to Ovos is coming apart. Who is at fault? And the terrorists is, of course, oh, it's the internet, it's the this, it's the that. There's plenty of places where we can point a finger. But I think that we have to ask ourselves, maybe we're at fault. Maybe we're not giving the kind of chinuch to the children that will make them unwilling to be menatek that kesher. There's got to be an answer. And to rub in the salt in the wounds and tell people never whose children how do they say now, they've gone off the derech or whatever the expression is. Yeah, oh, it's your fault, you weren't mechanech well. Whether to say that or not to say that, that's a decision for Kosher Yidden to make. Oh, but we have to ask ourselves, is the vort that the matzav in which we are living today, the world as it is in the 21st century, maybe there are aspects to chinuch that the old chinuch, which produced all these melodic, beautiful, 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 full bottom medrash, full chadorim, kinderlich, even the payas, it's so beautiful, everything. But the beauty is becoming tarnished to some extent. It's not yielding the same beautiful fruits. It's yielding plenty of them, Baruch Hashem, but it's losing out too many. And that is a very, very eloquent message which is being sent to us, Rachmon and Islam. You've got to do something with our chinuch. That we have to make the chinuch such that children won't want to be menatek, the kesher. That is, I think, something that we have to very, very, very much think about. It's such a, with a heavy heart, and it's the fire, Rachmon Litzlan, that terrible, terrible fire in Eretz Yisrael, Yidden, and such a tragedy. And that's a wake up call, I think. I think it's a wake up call. That we have to think about the children, and if we think about the children, we have to think about the chinuch. Now, what the shinuyim which need to be made in the chinuch are, that I leave to the expert. Yeah, libi oimeli, that it's not just don't have a computer at home, don't have a television at home. All these things go without saying, that if they're sakona, of course you mustn't have a kosel ruah. But is that all? It seems that it's not maspik in many cases. So then you need a rethinking of other yesodos. Maybe it's not enough to answer this and to answer that, and you need some other tweaking of the chinuch to make that the children should be better equipped to face the nisyonos, to face the terrible nisyonos. The Rabbi Nisham should help. We should get our children back. We should get our children back, and the trees should grow again, and they should blossom, and they should bear fruit, and they should be beautiful. The Eretz Yisrael, the Yifei Noif, Mesois Kol Haoretz, Hatzion, Yakasei Tzofon, Kiryas Melachov. Let it all come back, let it be beautiful, but the beauty of the land will be meaningless if the same beauty will not be reflected in 100% of our children. And I think that is the Tzav HaShor, the Rabban Hashem should be Merachem, that the same Nisim, Rabbi Yomim Ohem, Ala Nisim, Ala Purkan, Ala Gvuras, Ala Tshuas, Ala Mechomas, Yosisim, Ala Seine, Rabbi Yomim Ohem, Bazman Hazer, that in our days, Bazman Hazer, the Rabban Hashem should help us to have the same kind of Nisim to protect our children, that they shouldn't want to be Menatek the Kesher, that they should remain Ace Yaakov, Ish ubeisoi, that ish ubeisoi, each person plus the children and the grandchildren and the uveinikos should come Eis Yaakov, and coming into Golos with Eis Yaakov to go out of Golos again. Eis Yaakov luchu v'nevcho ba'ay Hashem. One Hashem should help.